Thank you, Clay and Patty and Paul. Good morning. It is so good to be together on this Easter morning. Visitors, we especially want to make you feel like family in this place, to feel belonging and God's love in this place. So welcome. It is good to be together. And I am so excited to share with you some of what I've been learning these past 10 days, and really even this past year, about the power of God's transforming grace. I have good news for us, because it's helping me to be a better parent and a better pastor and a better person. And this is available for you too. You see, one of the things that I notice, and I'm with you in this, is that we struggle to believe that God's grace can impact our lives. And so we're going to break this down into two journeys. And for some of us, what I notice is that we are clinging to our reasons for doubting Jesus and Scripture and the resurrection. We're clinging to our reasons to doubt that. And so I've invited a couple of people to help me with this sermon. You can come forward at this time. And Ari, your cake container has gotten moved to the floor here on the front. So come on forward. And I've got something for each of the adults who are helping me. There you go, Doug. And if you'll stand up here. And Neil, thank you. And Marcus. And if you'll stand here together. And actually, if you'll scoot on down, I'll just stay down here. And so this first board that Marcus has represents suffering, because when I was suffering so dearly, I could not understand and believe that Jesus and his resurrection was real. I thought, there is no way that a good God would allow this kind of suffering. Well, let's think, what happened on Good Friday to Jesus? Oh, he suffered. Suffering is a part of the equation of life. So Marcus's board represents suffering. And notice, it's keeping me from the cross. It's like putting up a wall between me and the cross. Okay, the next board that Neil has, that's going to represent the church and Christians. Because in my experience, that also kept me from Jesus and the cross, because I remember being in the Middle East and seeing just how horribly Christians treated other people. Just horribly. And I thought, I don't want any part of that. If that's what Jesus' followers are acting like, count me out. And it kept me from Jesus and believing the resurrection. And the next board is when all the things that we can't understand about God and Jesus and the resurrection, all those things that we don't understand keep us from the cross. Do you understand? And so now, Ari, this is your cue, and you're going to go behind there where I can't quite see you. Oh, that's perfect. That's great. And Ari's got, now you all can see Ari, most of you, and he's got a cake platter. I want you to imagine that this has your favorite dessert inside this cake container. And yes, yes, exactly, Linda. Imagine that's got your favorite dessert. But so, and the container represents God's grace and God's goodness. But I can't see it because of the wall that I created. God didn't put that wall there. I created it because of what I chose to believe about suffering and so on. But then, by the grace of God, Jesus empowers Ari to come right around side that wall where I can see him. That's great. And I get a taste of God's goodness. And I begin to understand and taste and see that God is good. And I get another taste, and I begin to understand. And then all of a sudden, or bit by bit, that wall comes down. I know, it's crowded. I'm sorry. Yes! Jesus knocks that wall down by grace so that we can believe, even when we have created something in the way. Thank you, volunteers. Big round of applause. Now, the next thing I notice about this person who has had difficulty getting to the cross is the next thing I notice is they realize they've not gotten their just desserts. They realize they've not earned the cross. And so they're scrubbing and trying to get themselves clean and just trying everything they can. And there's no amount of scrubbing that gets them clean enough to earn God's grace, because it's a gift. And I used to think, when I would repent for something over and over and over, the same thing, let's say I'd done it 2 years ago, and I would repent over and over and over, I used to picture God having earbuds in and just sort of like, oh, here she goes again, the same thing, I already know. She's already said it before. I already know what she's going to say again. And I've realized God is not like that. Because God is patient. And God keeps no record of wrongs. That's what grace does. So in this first journey, it is our unwillingness to believe in Jesus and the effectiveness of his resurrection that brings us trouble. We know our need, but we don't believe Jesus' grace is for us. Well, let's compare and contrast that with the second journey from Paul's life. This is when he was named Saul, before his conversion. He was ready to imprison the followers of Jesus because he knew that his beliefs were correct. It's like as if he had a hammer or a gavel in one hand, or maybe if I had a stone here because he was there when Stephen was stoned. He has his way that he knows how things need to be done. He's so adamant in his high position of who he is, he doesn't believe he needs God's grace. See, in the first case, it was unbelief. In the second case, it's pride. We think we're too high. I hate it when I do this. See, the problem with that one is that God's gospel doesn't come through a hammer or a stone. It comes through grace. And so what these stories have in common is they both believe the gospel is not for them. Except there's no place so low in unbelief where God cannot come also and meet us. And there's no place so high where God's grace is not needed. And I have good news for us today that wherever we are in our circumstances, whatever we believe right now about Jesus and grace, no matter what we face tomorrow or the next day or a year from now, God's grace is enough. And I want to share with you how I know, or maybe better said, how God has given me faith to believe. I want you to think back to the story that Paul read at the beginning of the worship service about the women. And chapter 16 in Mark's gospel, listen for whether or not the women believed. Chapter 16 says, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, because they were afraid." Does that sound like belief to you? Doesn't sound like belief to me. So let me get this straight. They were terribly afraid. They went off running from the tomb because they were afraid. They said nothing to anybody. They didn't say anything to anybody. Why are we all here? Why are people online? We wouldn't be here if they didn't at some point say something to somebody. So whether it was when they were fleeing on the road, or whether it was when they saw the disciples' faces for the first time, maybe it was looking at each other, maybe it was that night when they tried to lay down to sleep, at some point grace came and overtook them, because this is what grace does, is it overtakes our fears. God's grace was more powerful than their unbelief. Otherwise, we would not be here. Another reason I have faith to believe that God's grace is enough is because of what I learned from Paul's life in this passage. He went from persecuting Christians because of his zealous beliefs to a complete about face. He realized his need for grace, and what he says in this passage is that grace had its effect. So God's grace is available to each of us right now in this room and online. It's just whether or not we are going to let it have its effect. And the way that that happens is belief. Jesus' death and resurrection transformed lives then, and they do so again now. And it is always by grace. One of the graces that I've sensed God wants to give us is a new understanding of Jesus' resurrection. It's why we are starting a new sermon series called Resurrected and Living. Thank you, Lori, for the title of it. She listened to the vision of where I sense God was leading us, and she has the title Resurrected and Living. We're going to start next Sunday. We'll have the Soil and the Seed Project sharing with us some of their new music. We're going to be helping with the service project. Lori will be sharing more about that. The next Sunday after that, we have Lana's drama, which if you haven't talked with Lana yet about your willingness to help out with the drama, I think there's a couple spaces available. Yes. So you're laughing, but yes. After the service, talk with Lana if you have any interest, because you all, we have done skits here years ago, and they've been fun, and they've had meaning. This is a whole new level of drama that we're doing. The drama is beautiful, and I encourage you to talk with Lana and be part of that. And then after that, Lori and I will be preaching. We want to live into this idea of what does it mean that because Jesus has been resurrected, that means something for our lives now. And it has to do with hope and grace and belief. One of the practical ways that we're going to practice this today is through communion. Now, communion is not something that we take or we snatch or we earn. It's a gift. We receive it. Now, this is a little clunky because with our juice trays, we can't hold the trays and also give them to you. So we'll just improvise. But at least for the bread, it's going to be something that I invite you to hold your hands as you come forward and receive. And even in a practical way, this takes faith, because this is just, as Anabaptists, we believe this is a normal loaf of bread and a normal cup of grape juice. And yet we believe it is a symbol of God's transforming power and grace and love. Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gave thanks. And he took the bread. He broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you." And in a similar way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please join me in prayer. Our communion together. Holy God, you have given us access to you through Jesus and empowered by your Spirit. I pray that you would give us courage today to set down our unbelief and our pride and trade it for grace through faith, which is by grace. So God, whether we feel differently or not, whether we experience something significant or not, whether we think a new thought or not, may we be people who believe that your grace transforms our lives. Give us eyes to see and grant us faith to believe through Christ our Lord. Amen. Some instructions for communion. I invite the people who are serving to go ahead and come forward and receive the Germex that's in the front pew for you. We do have a gluten-free option. If anybody needs that, you're welcome to just ask us for that. Is there anybody who would like to have the elements brought to you who is unable to come forward? Would you raise your hand if so? Okay, thank you. So musicians, in a moment, will come forward first, followed by the congregation. I invite us to come forward down the center aisle in two rows to receive the elements and then to go out through the side aisles. There are baskets at the ends for you to place your cups into as you leave. If you have not yet been baptized, I welcome you to receive the grapes and the crackers that River and Ari have for us. And otherwise, all who have been baptized are welcome to come forward and receive God's abundance, to receive.